This morning, the first reading would normally be from the book of Acts, which is the story of Pentecost. So what I'm going to suggest, just to keep the service relatively short, we're not reading that story, but that's your homework. So if you would go home this afternoon, the book of Acts is in the New Testament, you know, after the Gospels. I need to remind myself of things like that from time to time, so I'm just being gracious. So when you go home this afternoon, read the story of Pentecost, because we will be still reading from the book of Acts over the coming weeks. Today's reading from the book of John talks a bit about the promise of the Spirit and what Jesus says that promise will bring. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Rise now, let us be on our way. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your promise to always be with us through your Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the fact that too often we live as if you are not in our midst. We live as people without hope. Open us, O God, to that Spirit. Open us to its call. Open us to the times of transition it brings. And open us especially to the peace it offers. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So, it's just been another normal week around St. John's, eh? Business as usual. For those of you who aren't on our church email list, Kim's resignation was announced last Sunday morning. And on Thursday, Jennifer's resignation, Jennifer in the office, her resignation was received by a personnel committee. I took Friday and Saturday off. It was probably a good idea for all of you. I did some running, I did some thinking, I smashed a few patio stones, ones that needed to be smashed, of course. I was sort of hoping I'd make it to the end of my ministry here with no more staff changes. But just so you can breathe a sigh of relief, I have grilled Svetlana and Ken, and both of them assure me they have no plans up their sleeve. Nor do I. I did make a bad joke at council the other night that there are loads of churches on the East Coast that are vacant, but those of you who know me well know that there's not a chance I will ever be a minister on the East Coast. It's hard to live through transition in a church. I was just counting this week, if you count my growing up years and my summer internships, I have had deep connections with a dozen pastoral charges. And within those pastoral charges, 23 churches. That's a lot of goodbyes. I've also worked in the Pastoral Relations Committee in two presbyteries where I supervised congregations dealing with times of transition between ministers. Change is really hard. It's scary. And it's unnerving because you have to leave the security of what was in order to be able to welcome what may be. In today's gospel reading, we hear part of what we call Jesus' final discourse, his words of reassurance to the disciples as he helps them understand that his end is drawing near. And we find them, the disciples, in a state of panic. But we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Show us the Father. Give us some proof, and we'll be okay. Wouldn't that just make everything in life so much easier? If we could look ahead and see for sure what's coming? With every career decision, with every job change, with every decision made about beginning or ending a relationship, with every move to a new community, province, home, wouldn't it be great to know for certain that you're making the right move, the best move? Wouldn't it be great to look ahead and see your life in 10 or 20 years to know with absolute certainty that the change will be indeed a good one, that life will go on, that the transition time was well used and important? We're going to talk a bit on Friday at the breakfast group about the strong theme of change and transition in the Bible, in our faith tradition, so that's not our focus today. Today, I think we simply need to remind each other about the importance of trusting the promise. Trusting that wild and crazy spirit, who I believe is not only our comfort in times of change, but also the unseen instigator that leads to change in the first place. I love the whole of the Gospel of John, and perhaps because it is so often shared at funerals to bring us hope and comfort about the future, about life beyond death, I especially love the passage we read today. It reminds us that through all of the changes in our lives, in our communities, in our churches, God is a constant source of comfort and of hope. Many of you have shared questions about the future of St. John's over the past week. We all have questions in a time of transition about how and who and what and when. There's always a desire when change happens to regain control, to get our footing quickly, to fill the gap so that all will go on as it has in the past. Those of you who have dealt with the loss of a loved one have probably received the advice not to make any quick decisions about your future. And that's also sound advice that was offered at our council meeting on Tuesday, which our board chair will express again in our congregational meeting immediately following worship today. We cannot rush to the future. We cannot make fast decisions simply to gain control over the uncertainty. We need to live through the transition. We need to examine our past and consider our future before any decisions are made. We need to grieve what we are losing. And if none of you have patio stones to smash, I have a few more, so pop on over and I'll help you work through your grief as well. But most of all, we have to trust. We have to trust in the process of call, which pulls, entices people out of what was to embrace a new thing. And we have to trust in Jesus' promise to the disciples, and we have to claim that promise as our own. Although we cannot see what is to come, we are not alone in our time of transition. If we are able to pause and to open ourselves to God's Spirit, we will find not only comfort, but we will also find strength and courage to embrace the future, as unknown and frightening as it might sometimes seem. I've mentioned before a comment made by church history professor Phyllis Tickle at one of our preaching conferences a few years ago. And Phyllis said, reflecting on the changes that have happened to the Christian church over centuries, "What if God is actually the one causing the change in our church today? What if God is actually the one causing the change?" Something for us to ponder as we look at the overall situation of the Christian church. God is in the midst of transition and may indeed sometimes be causing it. God is not only the one who calls people to new adventures in ministry, God is the one who, through that ever-present Spirit, brings hope, brings courage, and brings strength to face the future and to carve out new ways of being faithful followers. In all of the change and chance of life, in all of the grief, the pain, and sorrow of death, in the wonderful promise of eternal life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.